Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Be in touch with the program. Just text me and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So come about half an hour from now. Del Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, Dick Brubaker. We haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks. He'll be with us. So please make sure that you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he calling in from Boston, I believe, but State Representative Shane Stringer of Citronelle is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
I guess I should ask you this already, but how is the conference you're attending?
It's awesome. Weather's beautiful and very, very great conference and a lot of good information they're putting out.
That's good to hear. We'll start here, and you and I talk about this probably every time you've been on in the last couple of months. I mean, there's like a real movement afoot to try to repeal permitless or constitutional carry, whatever you prefer. And it doesn't go away. Some of the mayors in the Big Ten have said, no, we're not going to do that. But then there's two or three Stephen Reed, Werner Woodford, maybe even Walt Maddox to some extent, are insisting you're going to see. I think your colleague Chris England will file the bill. I don't know what it looks like in the House. We got the speaker coming on later this week. He'll be down our way, and we'll get into that. But you're the sponsor of this. I can't even see a bill like that getting to the floor. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're 100% correct. I've spoken to a lot of the House members and Senate members, and there's just not an appetite for that at this time. Everybody I talk to understands that they're just looking for, you know, something to blame or one shop all, you know, fix all, and that's not the solution. That's not our problem, and we've got to address the problem head on and quit, you know, messing around and blaming everything. It's easy to blame everything, but you know, it's difficult sometimes to make tough decisions and find the right solutions.
Well, what about this, Representative? And maybe this is what we need to be on the lookout for, but maybe they want to nibble around the edges here. They want to add some more restrictions, or they want to figure out ways to sort of undermine the spirit of the Second Amendment. There even sometimes you hear Republicans talk about things like this. Is that something you're concerned with? Because, I mean, it seems like you see it, but then you got to consider the source, and maybe it's just Democrat happy talk.
Well, you see it, and you know, I talk to people and hear it. So, but no, I don't think there's anything going to take place. I mean, it's the vast majority understand, you know, this is not the solution, and you know, it's just the Democrats trying to push that method of fixing things, and that ain't going to fix it. So, I don't think we're going to see it. We're going to continue to stand up and fight for our Second Amendment rights and make sure that we put some common sense legislation in place.
Well, I mean, other than perhaps a already banned Glock switch ban, I mean, what else? Maybe they'll try to add some other stipulations to it, or but I guess the question: how about this? Restricted gun owners or gun holders database, and you do hear some rumblings that that's not working to the extent that some of these agencies would like to see. I mean, do you hear anything like that perhaps being an obstacle thrown at you?
No, it's in my opinion, it's 100% working, and it's probably one of the smartest things that we've done. You know, to support our law enforcement is to put that prohibited person database in place. And, you know, it's absolutely, instead of allowing an officer to arrest somebody on a misdemeanor, no pistol permit, now the officer has probable cause to arrest them on certain persons forbidden, which is a felony. So it is a stronger penalty to address the problem. And I think that you know, there again, you just got some that's going to complain and make excuses why they can't do their job. We need leaders that are going to stand up, be strong, and stop making excuses, and that are going to find reasons to do their job and ways to do their job.
Yeah, I think you're right. Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Let's talk election outlook. How you feel about November 5th? We're, as of tomorrow, 2 weeks out, and I think things are trending in a Republican direction, but you've had a chance to get out of sort of the red state. Do you sense anything different from where you're standing?
No, you know, even here in Boston, you know, you're seeing lots of, you know, Trump memorabilia and hats, shirts, signs, bumper stickers and stuff. So, no, I mean, I think you're right. What we're seeing is trending in the right direction, but, you know, as we know with some of this mail-in ballots and different issues that we're facing, I think that you're going to, you know, it's really going to come down to the wire. And I think we're just going to have to, you know, may not even know something at the end of election day. So I think it's going to be some challenges for all of the states to make sure that everything's accurate. And I think we've put some with Secretary Wes Allen, I think we put some checks and balances in place here in Alabama, and I think that we're going to see some good results.
Your people up your way in your part in your district in North Mobile County, I mean, do you sense the enthusiasm? I feel it here in Baldwin County. I have one texter think that it just the opposite, but I think at least in our neck of the woods, Representative, there does seem to be sort of an eagerness to get November 5th here and cast your ballot, and probably most people would be for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and that's what I'm seeing in my district. I've got North Mobile, North Baldwin, and, you know, of course, we're right there on the Mississippi line, so I've got a group of very conservative constituents that, you know, really are very supportive of Trump and, you know, supportive of me. So I think if it was held today in my district, it's going to look really well. You know, I think that we're just going to have to stay on top of it and kind of watch any voter issues or whatever, like ballot harvesting type situations, make sure that ain't none of that going on and stay on top of that. But I think in my district, it's going to look good for Trump.
Tell me something, AL.com and some other sort of lefty talking heads, if you want to call them that, around the state. Talk about early voting in Alabama, something I don't think is ever going to be in the cards personally, just given the makeup and the composition of the Alabama legislature right now. What do you think of early voting? Is that even something that the state ought to be talking about?
I don't think so. I think we've got a good system in place with our absentee ballots and, you know, anybody that is wanting to early vote, you know, if they got a reason, there's a mechanism in place for absentee ballots. So I think that covers us in those aspects. I don't see no reason for anything else. I think that, you know, the Democrat Party used COVID to try to transition and use that for early voting, drop-off voting, and stuff like that, which, you know, I think was very problematic. And, you know, we've got to keep the integrity of our election system in place if we want to maintain our democracy.
Well, and that's interesting you say that. I don't, you know, in Alabama, the clamoring for it, but for early voting, it's out there. I don't, but I find it to be more of a Democrat driven agenda. What I don't see is to just your average constituent. Hey, you know, it'd be great if I could go early vote and go ahead and get it knocked out. I don't think that is I just don't think that's a prevailing sentiment, an overwhelming sentiment among people in this state.
Yeah, and I know it is not among my constituents, you know, or the vast majority of the state of Alabama. So, you know, we've got mechanisms in place for that, you know, and there again, we're seeing people, mostly Democrat Party, making excuses why they need to vote earlier or do whatever they do, when in fact, you know, we know what the date of the election is, you know, 4 years and further out. So if you can't make plans to vote or come out and vote, then something's wrong, because you know so far ahead in advance to when the voting's going to take place.
Representative, I'm going to have the speaker on later this week. He's down our way. Real quick, just to set that up, the second half of the quadrennium's around the corner, and I know we got to get past November 5th and all that. Do you have any sense of what we are going to be? Like, there's always, like, the hot-button topic, and I think the last session was gambling. I don't see that in the cards this time. Do you think that we're already kind of looking toward 2026? Or do you think this is still going to be one of those sessions where we will have something big that people's like, wow, yeah, this was a, or does it just seem things are kind of winding down a little bit?
No, I think that, you know, it's probably not going to be as hectic or busy as it has been. I think we're going to be looking at, you know, some hot topic issues, but I think for the vast majority, it's going to, you know, be looking toward 2026 and our elections and, you know, getting prepared for that and, you know, just start moving forward with the election stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. The thing is, I guess some of the things, one of the things we got to be looking at, and you hear a lot of talk about, you know, well, let's talk about ALDOT and what's going on there. It feels like to me the sort of status quo we're in right now with that agency, and the reason I ask you this is I'll tie back into 45 and a long held project, but I'm starting to hear, you know, sort of a dissension that more and more people are kind of getting fed up with, more and more people in your body are getting fed up with what's going on there. And do you ever think that something like that will gain support? And maybe not this quadrennium, but it seems to be pretty evident. Members of the legislature aren't really happy with that agency.
Yeah, and I think that ain't just started. It's been going on since I've been up there. Everybody's, you know, very frustrated and aggravated on how things are being done and the lack of some things being done. So
it's like a lack of communication, I think, is one of the gripes.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. I think that, you know, I don't know if Director Cooper is just, you know, getting closer to retirement or what the situation is, but he's just kind of got the attitude that he's going to do what he wants to do or what the governor wants, and that's it, and that's the end of the day. So, you know, a little communication, and I think he gets frustrated sometimes whenever legislators question or ask questions about projects or stuff that are going on in their district, but that is what they're elected to do. So I don't understand why, you know, why not just listen to it? It's kind of like a, you know, a police officer that don't want to be criticized, but don't right. be a cop, because, well, you know.
All of you guys who voted for everybody who voted for the gas tax, and the one of the talking points was like, look, we're going to have this joint transportation committee. We're going to have all of this oversight. We're going to do it the right way. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Tell me this, and we'll wrap it up on this. Do you think it's lived up to the billing that we get the transparency that everybody was promised back in 2019?
No, I do not. You know, I think that there needs to be a better mechanism of how we pick these projects and the way they're carried out and the transparency in doing so. But I don't think we've seen that, and it's very frustrating.
And to me, the only check on power there is this contract review process. And you don't really see any other check. It's just sort of the executive branch owns this. And I mean, we could talk about the merits of like the West Alabama corridor, but at the end of this quadrennium, when Gay Ivey leaves office, there may not be much of a, anything to tap into from that gas tax for 2019. And it's going to put the next governor, maybe even the one after that, but, you know, it's going to hamper their ability to do anything with the Rebuild Alabama Act. And that, no one seems to be, I mean, we talk about the media and a lawmaker to talk about that, but that's what things look like right now.
Yeah, and that's correct. You know, it's going to tie the hands of, like you said, the next governor, maybe even the next, and the legislature on some projects until, you know, we get through, I guess, covering the check that this administration's wrote. So, you know, hopefully we can get some checks and balances in place. And, you know, I would suspect that Director Cooper will be retiring or leaving soon. And, you know, at a minimum at the beginning of the next election. So we'll see. I know we've got a lot that we need to accomplish and do, and there's a lot of needs across the state, but we have got to find, you know, a good way to do it and make sure that it's transparent for the citizens and the communities.
Representative, we'll leave it there. Safe travels. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a blessed day.
State Representative Shane Stringer there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I don't know what's wrong with me, because I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best.